And we're back with the rule of three. I'm Tim Slagle, got Brian Miller on the other side.
Hello.
And today we are talking about, I forget what we're talking about.
Apple.
Apple.
The
guy
in the sky.
smooth lead in.
We were talking about Max Headroom off air for a while.
Yeah,
so we got our technology stories tangled.
But the big story, of course, of this week, I feel, is that the court has just ordered Apple to figure out a way of hacking into the San Bernardino terrorists' phones, and Apple is saying, "No, we don't even have that power, and we have rejected that power."
Yeah, you guys would probably yell at us if we tried to have that power, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of they would be uncomfortable releasing that power even. They said, no, that is just it is pure evil releasing that on the general public, and we are not going to be the firm that creates that evil.
Tarnishing your brand, I mean, just from a business perspective.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, more than that, I think what they're doing is wonderful. They're actually getting a little bit of notoriety, saying it is so hard to hack into an Apple phone that we don't even know how to do it.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, that is. It is like a de facto commercial. It's, you know, it's like, hey, the FBI can't even get into your phone, so you're cool.
Which, you know, of course, begs the question. Is that, you know, we've been told that the NSA has been compiling reams of metadata on all the on every American citizen, but they don't have the metadata from this guy's phone.
Yeah, it makes you wonder which part. Like, I mean, I always assume that all cell signals going over the air are in. I mean, what could be more capturable, right? I would assume that is easy to snatch out of this guy, like conversation. But
sure, they have this thing called the Stingray. Are you familiar with it?
No.
It's an interesting little device. It's basically, I think you can actually even purchase one if you live in a state where they're not prohibited. It's a little device, and you set it up, and what it does is it grabs a cell signal from a cell tower and sets up a remote cell tower that actually goes through the normal channels. However, it inserts itself in between your cell phone and the actual cell tower, so that everybody whose cell phone signs on to this Stingray device, everything can be captured.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I'm sure you've had the thing where you ever had a radio station where you're tuning the radio and you can pick up somebody's cell phone conversation for a second on a channel.
Boy, that's a long time ago.
Yeah, or I guess was it a cell phone, or would that have been a landline conversation even at that point?
Well, I think
those are early cell phones.
When I was a kid, I got a little radio, and it had I don't know what the band was. It was like, you know, I loved having bands besides AM and FM, just to see what else was going on out there. And one of the bands I had was the Marine Band.
Ooh.
And basically, the way, if you had a phone on your boat, the way it would work is you would radio to the marine operator, and then the operator would plug you in on the switchboard into the actual network at the time. So but your call from the radio to the station, and then back from the station to your radio, was just over. Yeah, it was not encrypted. There was no encryption then. So you could actually tune into those signals. And I still remember getting a tuning in to a lawyer on his boat.
Ooh, wow.
Because I grew up right near the Detroit River. So it's a big boating area.
Yeah. Was he discussing some sensitive client information?
He was discussing a murder trial that he was
having. Wow.
And I was too young to know, or too young to look up, or maybe too lazy to go to the library and figure out who I was listening to. But yeah, he was discussing his client and the fact that his client was jeopardizing his bail.
Right. I mean, and theoretically, somebody out there would have paid valuable information or valuable dollars to a young Slagle there.
Yeah.
If they could kid, yeah. You want to borrow your rig for a minute? You were the original, you were the original government there looking in. Apple would have to tell you to stop.
But
it's
just
funny. Things haven't changed that much. They've just gotten more complicated.
Right. And it must have been a higher level case, too, because he was able to afford a lawyer. Who, you don't get a phone on your bass boat.
No. And think about this. If he was on the phone talking about it, he was billing that guy for the hour he was on the boat.
Plus, not to mention how much did that cost? And that was, long distance in those days was a couple bucks a minute.
Oh, I mean, I remember, yeah, it's so funny to think, certain things that change so fast. You don't think anything about calling long, everybody, unless you're calling out of the country, you're just making a call, and California next door, doesn't matter. But it used to be like, if I was going to call my buddy Steve, who lived like four towns over, you just set a little timer, when the timer goes off, you got to get off the phone.
I, the bar I used to spend more time at than I should have, there was a woman who worked there, and she basically had a real job during the day. But rather than just do what I was doing and hanging out at the bar at night, she worked at the bar. So when she was hanging out, she'd be making a little bit of coin.
There you go.
And it, a little very, very, very intelligent way to manage your life.
Yeah, billable hours. It's all about those billable hours.
And she worked at AT&T. And I still remember this conversation. We were in there one afternoon, and she said, long distance in the future. I don't know what we were talking about. She said long distance is the least profitable thing for AT&T right now.
Huh.
And she said, I predict that long distance will be free in the near future. And I still remember that day. I said, yeah, I think you're probably right. And
well, like with Skype right now, right? Like, yeah. what the phone company's going to do? You can't charge more. It's no different to talk to you on Skype than it would be to talk to my wife in her office 20 miles away on Skype. Same difference.
I think they do when you go out of the country.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that, yeah, and there might be some, yeah, they got to, there's conversion rates. You got to change things into metric, put them in a different plug. Things get hairy there. It gets complicated.
But there's also a way, I understand, if you get a Magic Jack in the U.S., you know what that is?
I have a guess, but it's probably wrong. does it take place on the first floor of the Designers Guild building, if you know which office to go into? Not the Designers Guild building,
I have no idea what you're saying, but I get the inference.
Our mutual place of employ is located near what some of us suspect to be.
You know what? I just found out about that.
Yeah.
I did not know about that. And our mutual friend was making jokes about that. Yeah. And thinking I knew. And I don't know. I don't even know if we should be talking about that.
No, we'll have to leave it encrypted. We can't just put this on the open marine line,
Yeah. I don't know if we should be talking about this because nobody knows what we're talking about.
I don't think we can get more specific than that anyway.
No, and B, we shouldn't be talking about it because we shouldn't be talking about it. But basically, to let people in, there's a comedy club somewhere in Missouri where there's actually a house of ill repute on the first floor. So.
Is it just the rumor, too, by the way? It's not even confirmed, but... but it's, confirmed-esque. I certainly haven't done any undercover work myself.
And I can't believe with all the comics that have gone through that place.
It was suggested and nearly attempted...
Oh, really?
For the pretend purposes of science.
Yeah.
Her general pursuit of dirtbagginess. But there was some interesting there was a problem. They had to scrub the mission.
And for the present purposes of radio, that's segment one. Brian Miller.
Yeah, yeah, I'm right here. I'm still getting over the magic jack.
Sipping water.
Recovering. I'm not in my refractory period. I'm all dehydrated from the magic jack.
Oh, by the way, it's just a telephone device. You can jack your telephone into the internet. And it's just a little about the size of it's a thick cord, basically.
Oh.
And then once you have the number established, you can take that anywhere in the world and stick it in the internet. And
that is handy.
And people, when they call your number, it will ring.
Wow. That is handy. Magic.
Yeah, that is like magic.
Speaking of magic, Beyonce.
Yes. It's a few weeks after Super Bowl. By the time this one actually gets up on the site, it might actually be a year after the Super Bowl, but the halftime show at the Super Bowl is always a topic of controversy, and it seemed it almost seemed,
in the last like 10 years. It used to be, remember, like really stupid Broadway style, like
the controversy, you know, 10, 20 years ago was, you know, what decade are we stuck in?
Yeah, they were so... I mean, there was such a running gag about how painfully lame they were. And they were. They were really lame.
Right, right. And then some people got the idea. They said, you know, there's really nothing to talk... I mean, that's what they would do. They would just play the Super Bowl. They'd play the halftime show in the background, kind of. And then they would actually talk about the game. But there's really not a lot to talk about at Super Bowl.
No, you know, there almost never is.
It's the last game of the season. It is what it is. You know, are we going to spend a half hour talking about what you've been watching for the past hour and a half? Taking off another track. That's like Talking Dead, which I have never watched ever.
I watched a couple of minutes of it last week. It was pointless.
Yeah, I know.
I like Chris Hardwick. I think he's a good dude, but
yeah. I'm nothing against Chris Hardwick, and God bless him for having a popular gig. But
I'm glad he's making some money off of it.
and it's not an easy gig. You know, I could not do it. I could not sit there with a straight face and talk about this like it was just some important news item that just went down.
Right. Well, oh, you know, the halftime show, I was thinking about this year as I watched it. It's very brilliant because, you know, the NFL, so smart. They've made the game of football into such a massive entertainment spectacle. And the Super Bowl is – they've turned that into, without a doubt, the entertainment event of the year pretty much globally, right?
Actually, you know what's interesting about it? It has not only become an entertainment event; it is the first entertainment event that is about to become a national holiday.
Oh, I was just telling my wife the NFL's dream, and it might happen, is to get the Monday after Super Bowl Sunday turned into a holiday,
That's what I'm saying. My brother-in-law's company, they all went in to work on Saturday so they could have Monday off.
Wow. Yeah, it's a big old deal. And what's interesting is, I was thinking about this, and you go, okay, if you're in the NFL, you're always thinking about the people who aren't watching. You know, obviously, all the football fans are watching. Obviously, you've already got them. So you have to have something for people who hate football. You basically have to have something for my wife. No, she doesn't hate it, but, you know, that's why they book these singers that you think, like, well, this doesn't go with football. And it's like, exactly. Coldplay and Beyonce don't go with football at all. If you like the game, they want you to kind of not care about the halftime show because they're going for a completely other demographic.
You know, actually, that would actually might be a nice mix is if they could somehow squeeze the Oscars in.
That's exactly right. I think it's interesting that the Oscars have not... I was thinking that in the inverse, that the Oscars have not been clever enough. Yeah, or something that makes a dude, you know, a kind of, you know,
that
we're gonna
might
go
be a good spot for the Pro Bowl is to do
in the middle of the Oscars.
Break in the middle of the Oscars, and then just have like a you know, like a sudden death game, a Pro Bowl.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
So, it would or be just like about a half hour of football in the middle
like
of
a UFC
Oscars.
Fight. You know, you're like, and now before we hand out best picture, now Conor McGregor's going to beat the crap out of some guy from Ecuador. You're like, oh, okay. But yeah, because you've heard the Oscars referred to as the gay Super Bowl. But what
exactly.
I think is
yeah.
Yeah, but what I think is interesting is that the Super Bowl is the gay Super Bowl. Yeah. They figured it out. It's brilliant, you know. I mean, you got to give the NFL huge credit as an entertainment agency because they go. I always used to say, why are they booking these particular bands? And it's like, yeah, it's opposite demographic. So then this year, of course, they pick Beyonce. Who, if you're gonna, I was talking about this with my wife as well. There's only a handful of performers who don't look ridiculous in a halftime show. There's a certain.
I thought Katy Perry was perfect.
I don't like that thing, but she did that thing well, I guess. Yeah, like Beyonce and maybe Lady Gaga, Madonna back in the day. You know, there's only Bruno Mars, I think, does actually, I don't care about that sort of thing, but he looks like he belongs there with the dancers and the presence. That's a hard, can you even think about how hard it is when you're doing a theater of 1,500 people and how small you feel. Now you're going to do a dance number in the middle of a football stadium?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I guess that's true. Coldplay didn't really seem to fit. Beyonce fit. Bruno Mars fit. Coldplay, it did not seem to. No, I didn't.
No,
I thought they were the odd man out.
Big time, and he looked like he was struggling for something to do up there.
What cracked me up is the way that they started it with him on one knee. Singing while everyone ran past him.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking it's like, I know it's being done for effect, but if that guy was out on the street, I wonder how many people would say, oh, that's What's-His-Face from Coldplay.
Yeah. Or how many people would go like, that white guy won't stop warbling.
Yeah. Who was that jag-off? I almost tripped over him.
Right.
Where's Coldplay?
So speaking of white guys warbling about the halftime show.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You brought this to my attention. I had not heard about this. This is a great story.
Yeah. Tennessee sheriff blames Beyonce's Super Bowl halftime show for shootings. A Tennessee sheriff suggested Tuesday that an alleged rise in violence against police officers is directly related to Beyonce's controversial
directly
Super
related.
Bowl halftime performance and new music video. The music video for Formation figures provocative images referencing Hurricane Katrina, Black Lives Matter movement, blah, blah, blah. But the halftime show did not.
No. And I mean, I got to tell you, when I was watching it, it did not occur to me that it was supposed to be a Black Panther, Black Power thing exactly. I mean, it occurred to me it was supposed to be Beyonce, who is a black lady, exhibiting incredible charisma and power. So I got that, you know, Sasha Fierce.
I didn't even until people pointed out that they were dressed up like Black Panthers.
Didn't occur to me.
I thought they were sexy Che Guevara Halloween costumes.
But it was cool. It was a good halftime show. You know, I appreciate, if you think about it, this Tennessee sheriff is a real lover of the performing arts. Because he believes that dance has the power to move us to such a degree. Like, you know, me and you were just sitting here going like, hey, when's the football game going back on? And this sheriff is just moved to tears and convinced that the world will change based on the power of a choreographed dance number.
And honestly, you know, in my opinion, it doesn't really promote Black Pantherism. Or idolize it when you make a uniform into a sexy dance costume, you're kind of humiliating it.
That's interesting, or at least at that point, like if you had a bunch of backup dancers wearing sexy first responder costumes or something, you know, I mean, I don't think people would be cool with that. You know, I mean, I don't think there was a problem with what Beyonce did. But yeah, I do agree. It's certainly not like you could read it as a radicalization of a performance, or you could read it as a commercialization of a political idea. It kind of goes either way.
Yeah, exactly. It's granted, if they were sexy Nazi uniforms, some people there would have been a few people upset. but I wonder if before it became an issue, if you actually said, who are these costumes depicting? How many people would have said those?
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if I would have reached that conclusion if you ask me, but I remember watching it. You know, it was halftime, and I'm a football fan, so I was kind of like, oh, okay, now I have a moment to, you know, get something to eat and talk to my wife and whatever, because I don't really care about that. But we had the halftime show on, and we were, you know, passively watching it. I was like, oh, yeah, it's pretty good. Never occurred to me in a million years. just didn't occur to me.
And if we don't stop now, we're going to run on to a million years. So that's segment two.
And on the last segment of Rule of Three for today, I am headed off for a 9-day. 9 or 10 day trip. I don't know. The Gilligan thought it was a 3-hour tour too, you know, and you never know how long these things will actually take. But I'm the beginning of my trip is I'm going to a family reunion, which sounds standard enough, but this family reunion is all going to transpire in a secluded, very secluded, 400 acre, I don't know, estate or whatever.
I think 400 acre or 40 acre. There's a bit of a difference.
Yeah, there is. Well, I don't know. We'll find out when I get there. I know it's real big.
Pooh Forest is only 100.
That's
acres.
A good point. Well, this is in.
So you could actually be in the middle of four Pooh Forests.
Fingers crossed. I know. It's, I mean, it's in rural Missouri, so there's a lot of space out there. But the place that we're staying in, they call it the castle, but it's not a castle per se, but rather it's an enormous house. I believe it's a 6-bedroom house, sort of a mansion-ish thing that was built like 10 years ago, but it's got like a turret. It's kind of, you know, it's kind of built to look a little bit like a castle or something like.
So you'll have a place to dive off of.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, there'll be, and there's apparently, you know, my mother's been selling this to me for a while, and she's like, well, there's a telescope. And so I'm like, oh, good, someone can watch me plummet from an interesting angle, or. I mean, I'm sure it'll be fine. I'm not sure it'll be fine, actually. I don't know why I said that. I don't know that it'll be fine at all. But I don't know that my mother has considered that it's like, you know, 3 days there's no. You know, it's different if there's Thanksgiving. There's like, okay, there's this big meal that you're going to cook. Or if you're all going out somewhere, you got to get your crap together and you go. And kind of the going is the communal experience. But you're just here. It's like The Shining. You're just in this big house or hotel, as it were, for 3 days.
How many people?
I think 16. Yeah.
Wow. That's enough to do a murder mystery.
I don't know that it'll be a big mystery. Yeah, I don't really know what the plan is. It's I'm just going along. I was conscripted into the reunion, and I said, "All right, I will go."
Because I was kind of thinking that would be a fun thing for you guys to do would be to do a murder mystery. But here's the thing: if you brought in a murder mystery crew that actually knows how to stage those things, is like, well, duh, we know who the murderer is and we know who the murderer is going to be because the rest of us all know each other. So that's not going
to
work.
Yeah, my wife bought a case of wine to bring. There's literally a case of wine.
How many days?
I mean, she's Catholic, so, you know. She's like, well, it's vacation.
Sure.
But, I don't know. This would be the first time I think my entire family or this, you know, kind of wing of the family is all been together in, years, many years, five, six, 7 years. Because my sister lives in Hollywood. Right. She's a Hollywood lady, Hollywood actress. Uh-huh. And so yeah, she's flying in, and we're flying in, and it's a whole to-do.
Wow. Well, you should really, you should take a better look at it.
You mean a more positive stance?
Yeah. Because, you know, it's 3 days out of your life, but there's a really good chance that this is not only the first time you guys have been together in 20 years, it also might be the last time you guys are all
together.
That's
true.
Ever.
I'm thinking I can also get a bit out of it. I mean, that's my main... I'm bringing my notebook, you know. I mean, I'm going to have some time. I'm going to have some wine. So
is there internet?
I don't think so.
That's really the question.
Yeah,
that
you're right.
You
know, that's the big question. I'm packing as though there is not. You know, I'm loading up the iPod. I'm bringing some actual books. You know, some like real physical books. And I think I mentioned the wine, you know, so I've got all that. But yeah, I mean, it's really far out there, and Missouri not to have internet would not be surprising. I'm surprised. Wouldn't be surprised if the whole state didn't have the internet.
You know, you can set your iPhone.
Yes, but I don't know how strong the signal will even be out there. Yeah.
Yeah, it might be enough. Well, now do I even bring the computer?
I'm not going to do any work on it. Well, my wife will be there, and then so then she's driving. She's flying back, and then I'm staying on in Missouri to do some comedy.
that's so funny.
Really what? She's flying back.
She is taking her time getting down there and jetting out.
Yeah, get me the hell out of here. Yeah, she's flying back, and I'm staying in Missouri to work at a club down there. So that'll be fun.
Not the club with the
parlor
downstairs.
This, I've actually never been to this. It's a brand new club, Helium, which is a really great chain of clubs. And you know, I say chain. I think there's five of them. This is the newest one. It just opened. It's near this kind of the Frou Frou Mall area. You know, like kind of the the money spending area of St. Louis. So it's probably a good location.
Sure.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to.
Nowhere near Ferguson.
No. I don't think so. Anyway, I know I don't. It's a bit near the Galleria, which is definitely the kind of the ritzy shopping area. So, but the Heliums are always really well set up. So I'm assuming this will also be well set up.
How long have you been open?
3 months. I think that it was a soft open. I mean, it's the best I can tell from their website. You know, pre Christmas. Right. Yeah, it's pretty fresh. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. Always nice to do.
Exactly. And I feel like, don't you feel like every year I like at least one or two new ones to feel like I'm mixing things up a little bit. And...
Yeah. No, it's the new clubs. I don't mean just new to you, but I mean the new clubs. When a club first opened, it's really nice. It doesn't.
I see what you mean. Yeah. This will be one of the newest clubs I've ever done. Maybe when the joke joint moved.
Yeah, the staff is not jaded.
I remember when like House of Comedy opened at the mall, and it was you're right, it was kind of like
still smells like paint and the waitress.
Yeah,
talking.
Exactly. It's kind of fun whenever you're right though. It is fun when like nobody's has their rhythm down yet, so it's kind of chaotic, but kind of weirdly innocent or something.
And sometimes, and I don't know if this is even possible, but you know, in the old days when a new club opened, people would come up to you after the show and be like, oh my gosh, this is the first time I've ever seen a comedy show. I don't know if it's possible that there's still people that have not seen a live comedy show, but you know, it used to be when a club would open in a new area, that it would just be just a...
Oh, sure.
I just lost my track of thought. I was looking for a metaphor, and the metaphor, no, I could not. The metaphor bin is
misfire. I know. I always aim that happens. Like, I think I have like a witty quip or something, and I start it, and then you go, "Oh boy, there was no back after that. That just wasn't there." Misfire. Because
I thought there was going to be.
The,
I thought that I was relying on the god of random, and he did not bless me with a metaphor. So, but now I've had about two metaphors. Why there's no metaphor since then?
But yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I haven't. I'll particularly kind of note it for that experience. The new club smell. You know that's I hadn't even thought about that. Yeah. But yeah, you're right, though. This will be different because, like you said, when somebody went into, you know, when the first person opened a club in Des Moines, it's like, well, the fine people of Des Moines had not had a chance to go see live comedy, you know, at that point.
Right. Right. It was new. It was like the first motor car being in town.
Whereas St. Louis, obviously, is...
It was the first guy with a computer. The first guy with a cell phone that did not have to be wired into his car. So it's just treated extra special.
So I'm looking forward to it. And so, that's assuming I make it there. That, you know, there's no murdering, pre-show murder, among me and my kin. But
provided the podcast.
So hope next time I will I'll be full of updates on the all the excitements.
And that's all that we have time for.
See you guys next time.
Forget the W, just Tim Slagle.
Yeah, you don't look like an out-of-touch tech guy. You were just bragging about your tech savvy. You can't throw the W's in there.
I know. And all the episodes,
And BrianMillerComedy.com is my website. You can find dates to my St. Louis shows and all of the Chicago and all kinds of other shows. So.
And we'll see you next week.